Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
This is a disastrous Astros season so far. 6-14. It's really bad.
Oh, they got to you too, huh, Sean?
Did. Yep.
Maybe somebody needs to remind you.
Yeah.
162 games.
Yep.
Mm.
That's what
All
I'm.
Right.
Yeah. Those people are. They're dwindling right now.
They are. They're like, oh.
They've been awfully quiet lately.
Last time we were saying 162 games was maybe 2016,
mm-hmm.
And they actually had a better record than the Astros do now, and they didn't make the playoffs. Huh?
6-14 right now. They're off today. Thank God.
The big thing is they're only 4.5 games back. The entire division is kind of a mess right now.
Yeah, you're right. That's a saving grace in all this. And they're going to play all these teams at some point that are ahead of them. They played the Rangers a bunch already. Thank God they're 4-3 against the Rangers. They're 2-11 against everybody else. So they've already been swept 3 times. I think I saw Landry tweet this. They were swept 4 times the entire season last year. They've been swept 3 times, and it's not even the NFL draft hasn't even gotten here yet. They've been swept 3 times.
Sounds like they're on pace to just only have one for the rest of the year. So we're good to go.
Yeah,
that's pretty good. If they're gonna spread it out, just 4 in the season, we've already got 3 out of the way.
Should be a hell of a year.
Yeah.
Justin Verlander starts tomorrow night.
Yeah,
his first start of the year for the Astros. Of course, he had some shoulder discomfort. Late getting started, so he's really been operating as if the run-up here has been spring training. You know, he was doing stuff at the end of the actual spring training, got a couple rehab starts in, which he himself basically called his spring training. Didn't look great in the box score, but I'm willing to write that off as long as the velocity was good and he was getting he felt good after the requisite number of pitches that he was throwing and so forth. This start tomorrow for Verlander, Seth, I feel like this is a pretty damn important start for Jim Crane. For Justin Verlander. You know what I mean? Like the theme of the season so far is that the Jim Crane-led moves are all blowing up in the face of the Astros right now.
Right. It's like if one of your criticisms was that Jim Crane doesn't spend enough money, he's spending a boatload of money.
Yeah.
The third most in MLB right now is just that a lot of that money so far is not showing up in the results.
Jose Abreu blowing up in his face right now. Josh Hader. Yesterday, notwithstanding, struck out the side yesterday. That was good progress. We like seeing that, but the season at large, not been good for Josh Hader.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a reach to say that the ripple effect of getting Hader and pushing Presley back to the eighth has had some sort of effect on Ryan Presley, who, again, was not good yesterday. I know he didn't get help by Jose Abreu, but there was not a lot of other good stuff going on in that inning tied to Presley. Montero's been okay this year, so we'll put that one on the shelf for now.
Altuve's been, if you want to include the Altuve extension. I mean, it's not like Altuve wasn't going to be here, but there, at least so far, that was a good sign.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it doesn't kick in until next year, but yeah, sure.
But he's, at the very least, one of the people you paid is the best player on the team. Right now,
the best player's doing awesome. Yeah. So, but the moves have largely been poor, and the results have been poor on these specific moves. The Verlander trade, I think, is 100% a Jim Crane move. 100%. Yeah. Like, he's very fond of Justin Verlander. It's at the level that it would need Crane's approval anyways. That's not a... It was that way when Jeff Luhnow needed Jim Crane's approval on the Justin Verlander deal the first time it was brought around. So, this is a... In the age of recency that we live in now with Astro fans, in the midst of a 6-14 start, if Justin Verlander goes out and gets shelled tomorrow against Washington... This is another thing we'll be coming in on Monday and talking about the litany of moves, you know, that had been made by this team.
Yeah, I think the big thing that I'm a little bit uncomfortable with Verlander about is just that, look, he's not, he doesn't have to worry about money or anything, you know, for the rest of his life, but he does have a huge bonus or vesting tied to pitching 140 innings. And like, I worry that anything at all gets hurried just because of that. You put him on, if he has, you know, 30 starts and goes 5 innings on average or like that, which would be typically easy for him, he can reach that number. But I just I would hate if that clouds his decision making at all on when he comes back or if he actually needs another rehab start, even subconsciously. I don't think it would affect him consciously, but there might be that thing looming over him that he presses too hard.
Yeah. So, no, that's true. It is hanging out. It is kind of hanging out there for him. So Verlander starts tomorrow. It's a big start. Big start for the Jim Crane perception, I think, as far as, you know, the moves he's had his fingerprints on.
He's pitched 78 innings or fewer in both his starts. So he'll probably be on a pitch
78 pitches. Okay.
His pitches, excuse me. Yeah. Same thing, Sean. So, or fewer since his two rehab starts. So I'm guessing he's going to have an 80-pitch limit.
And, oh, yeah.
You know, with Verlander, you never know. That could end up being a complete game damn near. It would be really nice if it went 7 innings on, like, 73 pitches or something.
It would be great. It would be great. Text message, I'd trade Bregman and Tucker. They're gone after this year anyways. Let me stop right there. Tucker has one more year of team control left. So Bregman's a free agent after this year. Tucker would be a free agent after 2025. Continuing, they're gone after this year anyways, and they would reload the farm system, either that or lose them for nothing during a probable lost season. Look, if the season keeps going like this, that's going to be a huge topic. That'll be, you know, we haven't been in this spot in a long, long time for Astro fans where you're not good enough to feel like you're competing, yet you have assets on the roster that are worth trading. Like, this is probably the last time, if we get to that stage, and usually about June is where that kicks in, is where you start to determine, are we a buyer or a seller, or at least speculate about it. That hasn't been a topic since 2010 and 2011 when they're shipping out Lance Berkman and Roy Oswalt and Hunter Pence and Michael Bourne.
And I guess the thing I would say about the suggestion of just trading away both those guys is, the teams have now established that you don't have to, and it might not be the best strategy anymore to just outright tank, because there's too many teams. You're in a competition with too many people who are thinking the same way. So there is a middle road to where you can build and rebuild, but we have a soft reset or sustained success. And I think that means that you gotta keep either Tucker or Bregman, and Tucker is the one that obviously makes the most sense, given the current results especially.
Well, and you got a year, whoever trades for him has another year of team control on him. Bregman would be a true rental for whoever, let's say extend him, but he'd be a true rental. Here's the thing, Alex Bregman needs to start hitting. He needs to start demonstrating that he, in 2024, is an asset worth trading for if it comes to that, you know? And the fact of the matter is, if it's a self-fulfilling thing, if he starts hitting, the team probably starts doing better. He's your three or four-hole hitter, you know?
I guess, yeah, it's just how bad can this slide be and how long can it last? I mean, one of the things that's... The expanded playoffs are great in a lot of respects, but it also keeps a lot of teams that might otherwise be sellers at the trade deadline. Now you've got a realistic sniff of the playoffs, and teams don't want to do that to their fan base, you know, just look like they're packing it in. So my guess would be, even if things are really bad for the Astros this year, at the trade deadline, they'll still be in playoff contention.
Yeah.
And that's when the really hard decisions are. Okay, do we actually trade away Bregman for what I guarantee will be less than people expect to get for him? And, like, do we do that now and just show that we're abandoning the playoff hopes?
I'm going to tell you right now, like, if in the building over there, if trading Bregman and Tucker is a conversation, it means that they've continued to go at a pace of 6-14 for the rest of the year. I mean, I don't know if people realize how bad they would have to be for Jim Crane to essentially quit on the season. That's quitting on the season if you're trading Bregman or Tucker. I mean, you're quitting on the season. Jim Crane, he's a lot of things. Quitter ain't one of them. Is my guess.
He did lead one of the most brazen resets year after year after year.
I don't count that as quitting. I don't count that as quitting.
Well, but it was losing strategically.
I get it.
So is there a point at the season in which it becomes, okay, this is a long-term, like, intentional losing strategically?
No, I understand. You're right. It's a nuanced conversation. I get it. I view that as more cost of doing business versus, like, you have a team. If you're trading Bregman or Tucker, you're trading them off of a team that has Justin Verlander, Yordan Alvarez, Jose Altuve. I could go on and on and on. Josh Hader that you gave a bunch of money to. Back then, and I know you know this, like, back then they're just tearing it down to the studs. That's part of, you know, it's the process of getting where they are now. Thank God the NFL and the Texans have dominated the early part of the MLB season. Yeah, man. Send a fruit basket over to Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans. They've given us plenty of distractions from the Astros' janky-ass start.
Even the draft with the NFL feels more exciting than it should without a first round pick, because there's that chance that Caserio does trade up into the first round.
Yeah,
he's one of the most active GMs out there. He trades all over the place, sets records for numbers of trades on draft weekend, and like, anything is in play. They're not now. You don't want him to get up into the first half of the first round. That would be an absurdly high price, right? But yeah, there's that chance that on day one of the draft, roundabout, you get down into the 20s. You never know. The Texans might pop up under your screen.
I would love to have a fly on the wall in the business office if Nick trades back up into the first round. You know, like, because they put the draft party on Friday when you got 2 seconds and a third, and we didn't do it on Thursday because there's no first-round pick. If there's been a trade, the Texans are now on the clock at number 28, and they're like, oh, my God. You know, they traded both of their second-round picks to move up into the first round.
You know what happens then, though, is that your first-round pick is at the draft party on Friday.
Okay.
So there you go.
Good call.
And he'll trade back up into the second and third round at some point.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, he can't help himself. Hey, did you see this thing yesterday where the recruiting video for LeBron –
yes —
to the Knicks leaked? Pablo Torre somehow got a hold of this video.
I thought at first they were doing some kind of — I thought for sure they were setting this thing up, and I thought for sure it was going to be like a fake, something fake, like a cartoon or something, like that they were doing it satirically. But no, it was James Gandolfini, Tony from The Sopranos, and Edie Falco, who played his wife, sitting in an apartment, looking like two people in the witness protection agency.
Yeah, he's got a beard, you know? He's wearing jeans. Yeah.
They're in character talking about LeBron James free agency.
Talking about bringing Tony's friend LeBron to New York. And here is... And so this is an actual video the Knicks put together in 2010 to try to recruit LeBron to New York when he was making his decision, capital D. Here is what that Sopranos portion of the video sounded like.
Yeah, take it down.
Tony, I'm so glad we moved to New York. Life is so much better now.
Yeah. Life's good here, Carl. Even if we are in the witness protection program.
Now, we just got to find a place for your friend LeBron to live. What's he like?
Well, he's a modern guy, but he respects tradition.
Well, here's something classy on the east side.
Well, is it big enough? It's going to be entertaining a lot of people in New York.
It's very expensive.
Oh, that's not going to be a problem. But you got to find something magnificent. Something there's nothing in the world like it. One of a kind, like he is.
Well, here's a place. It says it gets really loud there. Take a look.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's gonna be perfect for him.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
Jay-Z plays. And the laughing that you're hearing is Pablo Torre and his two co-hosts kind of Mystery Science Theater 3000-ing that video. Like, they're the ones laughing in the background as they're watching this thing. And the house, we should point out, is Madison Square Garden. is the home that they showed him.
And like the fact that Jay-Z was on there too is like, remember that Jay-Z had just, they had just left the presentation with the Nets too. So like Jay-Z being on there was no accident. Yeah. It was honestly, watching these guys react to it.
Yeah.
I could tell they couldn't tell whether to crush it or be impressed.
Right.
Because I think you got to take yourself back to, if you looked at it and you didn't know anything about The Sopranos,
yeah,
I think you'd be like, this is the cheesiest, dumbest thing ever. But this is a couple years after the series is over.
Yep.
Still huge debate and people just theories about what actually happened when Tony Soprano, when everything goes to black in the series finale,
yep,
whether he died or what have you. So this is basically James Gandolfini was heavy into this and came up with the ideas and everything. They wrote an epilogue to The Sopranos,
yeah,
in which Tony Soprano actually went into the Witness Protection Agency and is like sitting around just hoping that LeBron comes to the Knicks.
Now my favorite part, you're right. This is like, now we know how it ended. Tony's in Witness Protection, at least according to this Knicks video. Now, keep in mind, LeBron ended up going to Miami to play with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, who were also available in that free agency cycle. So rather than customizing a video for them, they just did this little thing where they essentially just cut and pasted Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh into the little snippet with the name. Anyways, take a listen here.
Now we just need to find a place for your friend Dwayne to live. What's he like?
Well, he's a modern guy, but he respects tradition.
All right, now Chris Bosh.
Now we just need to find a place for your friend Chris to live. What's he like?
Well, he's a modern guy, but he respects tradition.
All right, now, in case there's a no-namer that they were looking to recruit, how about this?
Now we just need to find a place for that basketball player to live. What's he like? Come on.
He's a modern guy.
No way.
But he respects tradition.
It's basically Mad Libs. It's Mad Libs.
That's awesome. It was like they were doing a green screen type video. We're like, just take and do whatever you want with it later.
Right.
He's a modern guy, but he respects tradition.
All of them
somewhere,
do, yeah.
Somewhere a group of people sat around in the room and was like, what's the best compliment we could give to any of these young basketball stars?
Well, he's a modern guy, but he respects tradition.
Oh, yeah. They're going to be so flattered by that. That is the highest compliment you can pay to a 28-year-old basketball player.
As if, like, LeBron's going to be there and he sees James Gandolfini calling him a modern guy, and he's like, I'm not sure what to think about that. And then he hears, but then I respect tradition. Oh, that's me. Okay, yeah. That is me.
It's like you knew me all along.
Nailed it, James.
Yep, it's like you knew me all along.
So it didn't work, though, huh? Yeah.
No, it didn't work.
I wonder if they did the research to know for sure that LeBron actually watched The Sopranos before that. That really blows up in your face if LeBron never even like watched Sopranos or understood the references.
Well, because do you remember what Mark Cuban did trying to lure Dwight Howard there? Because they knew that Dwight Howard was huge into like superhero
bunch
cartoons
of coke or something. What
no,
did you do?
No.
No. Okay.
No. They knew that Dwight was big into like superhero cartoons, so they literally had an animated cartoon, like a 5-minute cartoon made where Dwight is the superhero flying around rescuing everything in Dallas or something.
That
like
is
that.
A smart thing to do with Dwight Howard.
Absolutely. It didn't work, but like that's not a bad approach.
Sprinkled Skittles everywhere he went.
Yes.
Yes. Farted, like when he sat down, there was a whoopee cushion there.
Right.
But Dwight thought that was just like, you guys pulled out all the stops. Like all the old classics.
Oh, man. Those were fun times, man. Those were fun times. All right, Mark Schlereth, he was on my...
To be clear, everybody, that wasn't a joke about... There's no rumors or anything that Dwight was ever a big cokehead or anything. That was more of a joke, a Mark Cuban joke, just about him being weird and cheesy.
Yep. Yeah.
Not accusing either of those guys of being big cokeheads.
Mark Schlereth was on my podcast, the Utopia Podcast. It drops... If it hasn't dropped already. If it hasn't dropped already, it is dropping this morning. He talked about your new wide receiver, Stephon Diggs. Who bears the brunt of holding Stephon Diggs accountable? What does Schlereth think of the way the Texans have been handling Diggs contractually? We'll get to all that coming up next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Utopia Football Podcast is my football podcast. Mark Schlereth is my guest this week. We've been playing some of his audio here on the show. He's not a big fan of the Stephon Diggs trade. He's concerned that Stephon Diggs is going to be... Yeah, he's concerned Stephon Diggs could be a negative gravitational pull in the Texans' locker room. If that is the case, who bears the brunt of holding Diggs accountable in that locker room?
I would say first and foremost, it's DeMeco Ryans. And DeMeco's, as you guys know in Houston, DeMeco is one of my favorite people to... Well, you don't know this. He's one of my favorite people to meet with, but... He is a not a good coach, a great coach, and a great mentor. And ultimately, you have to hold Diggs accountable to a standard. And, you know, players have to do that as well. C.J. Stroud has to do that. Like, it becomes everybody's responsibility to a degree to do that. But ultimately, it lies in the head coach. And if you let him pass by whatever standard you have set, then again, you have set a new standard. And you can't allow that to happen.
Yeah, so that in the passing by the standard, Schlereth told a story on there about a relative of his who was in the military, might be a grandfather or a father or something like that. Mm-hmm. But he always used to, this particular person always used to critique people like out in public. Like, and tell them, like, if they were doing something wrong or they, you know, like, or they were.
Yeah.
And at one point, who, you know, Schlereth or whoever asked this person, like, hey, dad or hey, grandpa, why do you always do that? He's like, because if you don't do that, then that becomes the standard. You know, if you allow this to happen, then that becomes the standard, you know.
Except that he's doing it with, like, anybody and everybody. And
people just, out of, yeah, like, citizens.
Like honestly, like, there was absolutely no reason for him to be trying to intervene or anything.
Right, yeah. Right. But Schlereth used it as a point to illustrate that, like, yeah, if you allow this type of... If you allow Diggs to be Diggs in the locker room, then all of a sudden that becomes the standard for everybody else.
I think the thing is that if you look at the personal history of Stephon Diggs, it's fair to wonder and worry about whether or not he becomes a distraction. But you also have to look at the positive side of it, which is he seems like a pretty delightful guy a lot of the time. And I think when everybody is on their best behavior during a honeymoon period, and as long as things are going well on the football side of things, you shouldn't have to worry about it. I could, though, like, I could see this ending up being a moment that DeMeco looks at, you know, 5-10 years down the line where he's talking about it. He's like, yeah, that's when I learned that you got to be careful with just how far you want to push
sure.
it. You know, like, it's... I guess the question is just, all right, what's the exit plan if things go south? Have they talked or discussed that? And I think they probably have, because when Caserio was in New England, they would take chances and risks on guys all the time. It's just that if it wasn't working out and if it wasn't a fit, they cut immediately. They did not let anybody stick around to become a distraction or what have you. And that's where I think the real question isn't whether or not Diggs is going to work out. I'm pretty optimistic that he will on a one-year contract especially. But the real question is, are the Texans, do you think that they're comfortable enough just cutting it off if it wasn't working out? Would they eject immediately, like 3-4 weeks into the season, if it was something that was bad.
If it's bad enough, for sure. Yeah, you just pointed out, like, Caserio comes from an environment where they weren't afraid to do that in New England. And not that he's, as you and I have said many times, he's far from a copycat when it comes to all the New England stuff.
Well, and he's bailed on stuff very quickly before. I mean, one of the more curious ones was the defensive lineman the first year he was here that they traded for and then traded away.
Oh, Shaq Lawson.
Thank you, Shaq Lawson.
Shaq Lawson, yeah.
The weird saga of Shaq Lawson.
Yeah, they guaranteed him a bunch of money, and then they ejected.
Yeah, they got him in, gave him some more guaranteed money, and then got rid of him as soon as it seemed like, okay, this might not be the guy
we want. Not working, yeah. So I think I had an interesting question asked of me on the mailbag on the podcast, and a listener asked, what do you think has a better chance of happening? The Texans win the Super Bowl this year, or the Texans eject, like you just said, from Stephon Diggs before the bye week this year because of issues with Stephon Diggs.
Mm-hmm.
I said Super Bowl just because I feel like this is going to work out. You know what I mean? I'm confident it's going to work out. I feel like the Texans are built to withstand any sort of Diggs getting sideways. And I think the contract, too, is going to be a real regulator with Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, you know? I think that the fact that everybody understood exactly why the Texans lopped off all those extra years. It still does change. It changes how you feel about the compensation in the trade. Mm-hmm. But if that's what was like the slam dunk for getting the absolute best version of Stephon Diggs, it could end up working out really well. And I think that was probably the moment I realized, oh yeah, these guys are like all in on trying to win the Super Bowl this year.
Yes.
Like there's like, it might, however you think realistically that is or not, or what have you, or how much you would gamble on it. That's where it felt like, oh yeah, this is strictly paying a good chunk of both draft capital and money for 1 year with Stephon Diggs because they think it's as good a year as any to go try to win the Super Bowl, which is pretty damn cool.
Yep, Schlereth liked the move of lopping off all those years, the unguaranteed years on Diggs' contract, and making it a one-year deal.
I think it was smart by the organization to do what they did, to make that a one-year deal. I still have a tough time with paying a receiver $22 million. I know that every position is dependent upon the other positions, but there's no more dependent position in football than wide receiver. Like if the quarterback isn't upright, if the offensive line doesn't do their job, there's a lot of things that go into that to make those guys have success. So I think that was a smart move, lumping it all into 1 year and, like you said, put a prove it year. Mm-hmm. And if he does, you're more than happy to go down that road with him and, sign a new deal.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I mean, you have an exclusive negotiating window with Stephon Diggs through next March. Yeah. If it's working out, if he's somebody you want to keep. Now, if he has a big year, maybe somebody comes in and offers him more money. I don't know. I feel like, Seth, he's on the cusp of the stage of his career where he's going to kind of turn into just a 1 or 2 year contract guy, great money.
Always the question after that point is, does he realize that? Does he understand that? Yeah, I think Steven Nelson is a guy that's out there right now in the free agency market that might be coming to grips with the fact that, all right, you're at that age. It's not an insult, and it's not like a poor reflection on you as a person or as a player or anything, but you're going to be 31 years old this year.
Yep.
And that's old for a cornerback, especially not like a, it's not like you're coming off a good season, a solid season, but not like all pro or anything. So it might be 1 and 2 year contracts from here on out.
Texter makes a good point. We just got done in the previous segment playing the LeBron James recruitment video that the Knicks put together about 14 years ago where they hired James Gandolfini and Edie Falco. You know them better as Tony and Carmela Soprano, to do a little skit in there to try to recruit LeBron to the Knicks.
And they looked in the skit. It was kind of like it gave the impression that they were in the witness protection agency.
Yeah, I think they even said they were in the skit.
Right. So it looks like they're sitting in this small New York apartment kind of talking about, what the Knicks are going to do.
Yeah, Tony's reading the paper. Carmela's on her laptop. Great point by a texter. New York City. Great place to hide out for a former Jersey mob boss. Great, great witness protection program.
Hey, to be fair,
nobody will recognize him with that beard on his face.
That was one of the weirder parts of The Sopranos, the movie, the TV show, was that Tony would at times hide out in the most luxurious hotel in New York.
Yeah.
Just by like using, like, there's people trying to kill him. He's like, I'll go to one of the most conspicuous places possible.
Plaza.
I'll just use a different name. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it might be in his wheelhouse there. I don't know if it was supposed to look like a New York apartment. I know that in real life, it was actually James Gandolfini's New York apartment.
Okay.
So like there was like a window unit, air conditioner and everything. And it wasn't, they made it look probably more cramped than it actually was.
Yeah.
But they actually did shoot it in James Gandolfini's New York apartment.
That's interesting. That's interesting. If you had to go into witness protection, Where would you choose to go?
Oh, that's a great question,
yeah,
Sean.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, does it have to be in the United States? I guess so.
I think it does. Like, yeah.
They need to be able to grab you.
Extradition laws and whatnot. Yeah.
I've been looking at places to get semi-retire to in South America as of late. Okay. I'm looking to buy, like, basically a whole county somewhere.
Okay.
All right. I just, I need to have this place on lockdown.
But
it's a really good question. If like I'm guessing like the more exotic or really desirable places are off limits. They're gonna have a limit on how much they can put you up for.
Yeah.
So the best place to live a comfortable lifestyle, but also like, you know,
safe.
Maybe if you have to live in an apartment or something, but it's safe, whatever. Yeah, I'm guessing like one of these smaller cities up in Wisconsin or something.
Okay.
Or Minnesota.
Yeah, you and I are similar minds.
Like, out in the country a little bit, like somewhere out in the hills where you can go fishing, you can kind of go disappearing on a nature walk.
I'm somewhere in that Wyoming, Montana, Idaho area out there, you know, where there's a lot of lakes, a lot of small towns, you know, like little cowboy towns and stuff like that.
Seep your way into a militia here or there,
yeah.
And just surreptitiously
right.
To live that life that
scratch
you always
that
wanted
itch.
To live.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think I've always thought, like, man, Wyoming, like, it's real quiet. It's cool at night, you know?
It's got to be a lot harder for the Witness Protection Agency these days now that
Internet?
Everybody's so searchable.
Yeah.
Like, I almost feel like the Witness Protection Agency these days must encourage. I would, if I were in charge, which someday I will be, I would encourage plastic surgery. Because, like, other than that, I mean, as facial recognition software gets better and better, when people are like, I don't know, this guy's story doesn't quite add up. Boop, 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 boop. Oh, that's a guy. He's a con. Yeah, he murdered 8 people, but he got out of it. But that's our new. That's our new school vice principal.
Right,
awesome.
Right.
Awesome.
Right. He's the new manager of your hardware store. Yeah. He's not going to steal any sharp tools. Don't worry.
Right.
It's all good. I always wondered that too. You get those mobsters that go on the speaking circuit at different schools and stuff like that for gambling or illegal crime. I'm like, you're right out in the open, bro, like speaking at a college. I know they're probably not going to whack you in the auditorium, but you do have to get back to your car at some point.
I think the whole thing with the mob is there's a comedian. Is it Chris DiStefano? I don't want to. Mike and I had him in one once, and his father had been in the mob. And he tells all these stories about it. And he gets asked this all the time. Like, how are you okay telling these stories? And basically the answer he gives is like, yeah, I mean, like, the FBI did a pretty good job on organized crime. Like, they broke up.
Yeah.
Like, anything that used to be, like, in terms of cohesion or people, like, carrying out the code and everything, they just destroyed that by, like, turning so many people into informants.
Oh, yeah.
So a lot of people telling stories from back in the old days, there's nobody around to give a damn.
Right.
And even if they did, like, they can't really do anything about it.
That's a good point.
I think now for the Witness Protection Agency, it's from more of some of the cartels. Like the old school mafia,
you
know?
That makes sense. Hey, the Chevron Championship is the first major of the year for the LPGA Tour. It's happening this weekend in the Woodlands. Adult tickets starting at $35. Kids 17 and under, you get them free. So get out there, watch the best golfers in the world, tee it up. Tickets and information at thechevronchampionship.com. Nick Caserio meets with the media in about an hour and 22 minutes. What are we hoping to learn from the Texans GM? And this time a year ago, who did the odds makers think the Texans were going to be taking amidst all sorts of misinformation about them taking a quarterback? That's next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. 11 o'clock today, Nick Caserio meets with the media. Texans GM, pre-draft. I would imagine he'll get way more draft questions than D'Amico Ryan's got.
Yeah, D'Amico got very few other. He got questions about what he looks for in defensive tackles.
Yeah.
And not even specifically draft related. It was kind of dovetailing with a question about free agency. But it wasn't specifically about the draft. Yeah, I would imagine Caserio's going to get questions about potential of trading up, I suppose, or whether he's open to trading up. He's going to answer yes.
This will be the first Nick Caserio public comments since the Diggs trade also.
Right.
So this is the first chance to ask, like, did you take everything into account, blah, blah, blah. You know, like, probably some questions about Diggs and what did you learn before
trading?
The Diggs
trade and, like, yeah, what makes you comfortable with that was the – I'd like to know whether the lopping off the contracts was the years was something discussed before or after the trade. Mm-hmm. That's always interesting. And then I think the other thing, too, and I don't know if we'll ever get clarity on this. I guess maybe it doesn't matter, but I would love to know exactly how – it happened, the Malik Collins trade and everything. The originally it was supposed to be reportedly Eric Armstead for Malik Collins, and then the Texans had to pivot and go after Daniil Hunter, but the trade for Malik Collins still went through.
Yeah, it's funny. When you ask about things like that with Nick, one of two things happens. Either he's incredibly candid about the process and everything, and here's how it went down. I remember we were talking about him with something, and he almost took us on like a blow-by-blow as to how it all went down. I don't remember what it was, but I remember
it was the trade. It was the way they were negotiating with the Cardinals.
It may have been what it was. Yeah, Anderson. I think you're right. Yeah. I think you're right. So, yeah, he was going through that. It is what it was, Seth. In fact, so he was going through that in a lot of detail. The other things are the things that don't fall into that category tend to get an answer of, well, we just did what we feel like is best for our team. And I feel like that's what the Malik Collins, it's worth asking for sure, but I feel like that's what we're going to get in that one. Probably because it involves Armstead, who's not on the Texans now. He's a Jacksonville Jaguar.
Oh, that's true. He does have to be very careful about that.
Got to be a little careful. Yeah.
That's right. We got a revenge game versus Eric Armstead twice this
twice,
year.
Twice, man. Twice.
Former almost Houston Texan.
Do you think in Tennessee, they're talking about the Texans as a revenge game because we stole two of their best defensive players?
Probably not. Mm-hmm. I think just because Al Shire was only there for 1 year. So I don't know about that. I feel like Danico Autry might be a guy that puts a chip on his shoulder. Mm. So I think that they might not talk about it as much in Tennessee until after that first game.
Right.
When like Danico Autry takes somebody and breaks him over his knee. I worry about Danico Autry the same way Jay Foreman, remember, when we played the Bills in the second year of the franchise, Jay Foreman had come over from Buffalo, and Jay got two unsportsmanlike conduct penalties in that game. I don't know. Under modern rules, he'd probably be banned from the sport, but he's a little amped up. So I think Danico Autry might have one of those types of days.
Yeah. What else with Nick? Diggs trade? Draft, like I wonder how candid he'll be about maybe positions of strength in the draft, or if there's any sort of priorities he's got with those two second round picks. I don't know.
Yeah, Yeah, I think the draft is tricky because he just won't go into a lot. I think he'll go over his philosophy of trading into different bands of players. Mm-hmm. I would be curious to see what he maybe, since we all know that he trades into bands of players,
yeah,
and that right there, I'm guessing at 43, they feel like that they expect that to be a pretty good band of players. He might offer up a little bit, maybe, would he, about like which position groups he thinks are going to be strong in that spot? Or is that asking too much?
No, I don't know. Because they've needed everything the last couple drafts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's been a less relevant question the last couple drafts because all three of his drafts, it's not really been a relevant question because in his first draft, they hardly had any picks. They weren't picking until the third round. The second draft, they needed everything. So whatever position he thought, like there wasn't a single position that he could bring up where you're not like, well, the Texans need that. The Texans, they needed everything in 2022. And then last year, I think we kind of knew which way the wind was blowing, which is, all right, they're going to take a quarterback. And then, that was the headliner in that draft. You know, beyond that, I don't know how much people, as long as you got C.J. Stroud, then the rest of the draft was what it was. So this is easily the most specific draft that I felt with Caserio on board in terms of, okay, they're picking 42 and they're picking 59 and I feel like they need to come away with this and this. You know, like I'd be like I'd be shocked if 42 or 59 or some derivative of maneuvering around with those picks is not an interior defensive lineman. I would be shocked.
I think that's where, and especially that's where I think the bands of players come into it. There are a boatload of guys right now, honestly, that I watch these guys that are projected to go in the second and fourth through fourth rounds. And there's things to like about absolutely almost every one of them, you know, but they're not the perfect ones. They've got, there's a reason they're not going in the first round.
That's
so
right.
That's where I like, whether you think it's a strength of the draft or not, it fits what the Texans need. And that they're, and with one of those picks in the second round, I think there's probably a lot of guys that they've got similarly graded and they're going to take whoever they think is best.
If there's a position group that he maybe divulges like the depth of it, it might be the wide receiver group because that's just the theme of this draft. He's not breaking any news by doing that. You know what I mean? Like if they ask him like, hey, what positions do you feel like? He ain't breaking any news by saying, man, there's a lot of good wide receivers in this draft. So he might be candid about that. This should be fun, man. I'm actually, just in talking this through, I'm very anxious to hear what he has to say about the Stephon Diggs trade and how it came about. And, you know, was it attached to the Vikings trade? Did you do the Vikings trade with the idea that there was going to be another move down the road? I don't know how much he'll divulge, but I'm confident we'll hopefully learn more today. We'll see. A year ago today, here were the odds on who the Texans were going to take with the number 2 overall pick. Tied at the top at plus 250, 2.5 to 1. So this is a year ago today. Will Anderson and CJ Stroud.
Oh,
the odds makers were not listening to all the pundits out there saying the Texans might not take a quarterback. Now they ended up getting both guys.
They were right. They did end up getting both guys. As far as who they would take with the number 2 overall pick, it feels like they were listening somewhat to a lot of the chatter that it might not be a quarterback at all.
Yeah.
So it's Will Anderson to be even odds with CJ Stroud. Yeah, like and it's funny because this was after D'Amico had already said we're going to take one of the two quarterbacks that are at the top of the draft.
Yeah.
He flat out said it.
Yeah.
He came out and he said it.
Yep.
And yet people were like, "Nope. They're going to take Will Anderson."
He said it in like March. Like
I know,
he said it at the combine, you know, like it was crazy.
The problem was they weren't leaking anything.
Nope.
And agents weren't talking and people started. I mean, CJ's agent couldn't talk because CJ himself didn't know what the Texans were thinking. I don't think David Mulligetta knew what the Texans were thinking. I think David Mulligetta, if I had to guess, he probably thought that the Texans might not go for one of his clients. Given that, for those of you who don't know, he is also Deshaun Watson's agent.
Yes.
He did try to help his client work his way off his contract, out of his contract in Houston pretty aggressively. So, I think that led to the perfect storm where people just flat out weren't getting any information about what the Texans were going to do, so their imaginations ran wild.
Do you like covering a team whose front office is airtight like that, or would you rather, as a media member, would you rather there be some leaks just for content purposes?
I don't enjoy some of the either controversy or bad takes that it invites, some of them my own.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm looking in the mirror right now.
Yeah, yeah. But I also think I got an appreciation for the fact that when there's a vacuum, somebody rushes to fill that vacuum. And I don't think a lot of them consciously realize they're doing it. But when they're not getting any information at all, their imaginations run wild.
Yes,
and all of a sudden, people become conspiracy theorists. And they start reading all the tea leaves and try to figure out this or that. Or, oh, there are only so many guys at this pro day. Or they didn't send pro guys to this pro day. And it's just so it makes for kind of a, in hindsight, kind of a fun circus mayhem environment. At the time, it never feels all that great.
Will Anderson plus 250. This is a year ago with the number two overall pick, the odds makers. Will Anderson, CJ Stroud plus 250. Third on the board, Seth, at plus 350. Will Levis.
Will Levis.
Yep. Yeah, Will Levis.
Show you really how garbage a lot
He'll
of the
either go 2 or 33, one or the other.
Yeah, that one again with Will Levis, the weirdest thing for me was, this is the first time I'd really gone in and just thought, with the quarterbacks, you know, I try to, you know, I try to take in all the opinions and everything. But like when I started looking at these quarterbacks and watching them and watching complete games, I started wondering to myself, like, all right, I don't pretend I'm a quarterback expert or anything, but I do not get it with Will Levis one bit. I just do not get it. So I went out like trying to seek confirmation of some of the positive things we're saying about Will Levis. And I went and I looked at, it was like anywhere from 8 to 11 former NFL quarterbacks and coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't find a single one of them that actually liked Will Levis.
Wow.
And these are guys like Kurt Warner's breaking down the various quarterbacks and everything. Dan Orlovsky, Steve Smith did it too. I included him in it. And like I couldn't find any of them that were as excited about Will Levis that you would think that he was worth a top 3 overall pick. So I was really confused, and then lo and behold, he just slides and slides and slides.
Yeah, it turns out your confusion was completely founded. It was completely valid.
I think one thing that happens with all these bloggers out there now that there's so many people writing about this stuff all the time, that there's just, they don't know how to vet their sources.
Yeah,
I think a lot of them just don't know or understand when they're being used or when they're being made fools of, and they end up like writing a lot of silly stuff.
Well, as we learned from reading that Belichick article in ESPN, yeah, there's a lot of latitude these days with what qualifies as a source.
Right.
Like with
right.
Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick. Like
they cited
somebody
as a
who
source.
Knew a friend of this guy. Yeah.
It was literally somebody who talked to somebody who knows Bill Belichick pretty well.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, so we're in the telephone game. We're the third telephone here. Like what the hell are you doing here?
It was wild. By the way, Tyree Wilson.
No, yeah, we're the fourth telephone.
Yeah, we're
because the first person hears something from Belichick. That's first telephone.
Dude.
The second person is the person who hears the person who heard something from Belichick.
Yeah.
And then we got these three amigos from ESPN writing a story about it.
We're on the bad part of it, bro. Tyree Wilson, by the way, fourth on that odds board from a year ago, plus 400. Remember Tyree Wilson?
No comment.
Yeah, I don't know who he is.
Did he play football at all last year?
I don't know. Yeah, actually, I looked it up.
Honestly, this is one of the great moments in draft history when I thought that Tyree Wilson was a better fit for Will Anderson. And then on the very last day, between talking to Dr. Chow about Tyree Wilson's injury and talking to somebody else about his, like, Will Anderson's character, I flipped.
Yeah.
12 hours before the draft.
Yeah, it happens, man.
To Will Anderson.
That's when this stuff happens. 12 hours.
Averted disaster, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Tyree Wilson played in all 17 games last year, started 3.5 sacks. So there you go.
Depth piece.
That's not bad for a backup, Sean.
Yeah, depth. I know.
Depth piece.
Certainly not defensive rookie of the year material. Now, Brandon Scott is here. This time yesterday, we were in the midst of one of the greatest teases of all time with Brandon Scott saying that, I don't want to put words in your mouth, B. Scott, about OJ, you were watching some stuff about OJ Simpson's death, and
yeah, so obviously I missed a step when I teased it, but it wasn't just his death, but his death, OJ Simpson's death, led me to go back to one of the greater pieces of content that I've ever consumed in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the OJ doc that they did
however
many years ago that was now.
Made in America.
Made in America, however many years it's been since they did that.
Yep.
I watched it at the time, thought it was great, but I never rewatched it, but it's got rewatchability.
For
sure. So I went back and watched it, and I didn't remember the football part. So you got to remember with OJ, for me, the thing that I know the least about him
is his football.
Yeah. Is his football. Right. Like, I just know the basics. Heisman Trophy winner, Hall of Famer, was great.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like, the stories and narratives. The
late 60s, early 70s.
There's no reason for me to have a connection to that.
Right.
So when I went back and watched it, I became reacquainted with the storyline or the narrative that they at least put in the documentary.
Yeah.
And I found the documentary credible.
Yeah.
So if they tell me, hey, O.J. Simpson was looked at in his first couple of years as a disappointment.
Oh, that's right.
People were talking about O.J. Simpson as a bust. And I, you know, why would I know something like that?
So I'm like, no, he averaged like 3.7 yards per attempt his rookie year. Right. It was,
So the tease was that this O.J. doc made you think about Damian Pierce.
Well, when I realized.
It's very jarring.
When I realized that O.J. wasn't an immediate hit, despite the hype, I thought, well, hey, you know, we've got a. We've got a running back here that people once thought highly about that we kind of just cast aside.
Yeah.
So to me, overall, it wasn't as much about OJ as it was a lesson in not giving up on young players.
Don't flush them too quickly.
Exactly.
I got you. Okay.
And dispose of them like a used glove or
Right. Or a sharp object.
And certainly don't
Molly shoes.
Attack them or anything.
Right.
Or frame them. Don't do any of the things that were implied in the
Did the rest of the documentary remind you of Ray Lewis?
None of it.
None of it.
Only
Oscar Pistoria in there.
There you go.
Was there, you know, Damian Pierce and Oscar Pistoria?
Yeah. Same exact thing.
Let's compare them on stathead.com. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Felt so bad for a very nice young man to get drawn into that, which I would say is also OJ's fault.
Not enough to get him in the slime off, though, huh, Landry?
It was just a bad analogy, but
it was pretty good.
Okay,
it was pretty good.
I feel like there's fluctuating thresholds for the slime off. I feel like you.
Yeah. Oh, that's a wrap.
Brandon
this year.
Scott, man.
I mean, parking and handicap got him in there. Brandon's
Dude,
in there.
That does not compare.
He
to
says fans. There's too many parking handicap parking spots upstairs, which he does make a case. There is like 12.
Yeah.
So
I'm right about.
Yeah.
That.
So he's. I think Greg Doyle's in pretty good condition right now with the slime off. He's probably going to run away.
It should be noted, I parked in the 10th open handicap spot. So there are 9 handicap spots before you get to my car.
I don't know, man.
You ever seen 10? You ever seen 10 people parked in those handicap spots upstairs?
I barely see 2.
Right. So at least I waited till the 9th.
But if you do it long enough, there's going to be some kind of meeting for like handicapped people at some point, and like you're going to be the guy that,
we're all going to have to take a course on the HR portal about parking in a handicap
because
spot.
Of Brandon,
actors with that bad decision guy in the bathrobe and whatnot.
Yeah,
like,
the bathrobe guy would definitely be parked
park.
In a handicap spot.
That's a long
spot.
Walk
yeah.
to the building.
And see, I thought of this, which is why I only did it on Tuesday, didn't do it Wednesday, and didn't do it today.
Fair.
What? Because the handicap don't work on Tuesday? Nice. Nice, Brandon.
No, because I was peer pressured into y'all's fake moral outrage about it, and I decided not to do it again.
Good job.
I call you Brandon Greg Doyle Scott from now on.
All right, we're done. We're out of time. Antibodies to you, Seth. Appreciate it.
Antibodies and just the appropriate parking.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.